The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Good to be with you on this overcast day. We had some nice rain yesterday, and it's supposed to be pretty rainy here for the next couple of days. So the cooler temperatures continue here in central Oklahoma. A few comments coming in from listeners. It says, hello here. I'm so inspired by your program. Another one writes, my youngest daughter is highly motivated. I want her to watch and listen to this one, especially. That would be yesterday's show, the one we followed up on the Thomas Jefferson material from Friday. So this is a listener that wants her daughter to get into history. It says here, the two campuses there, peace and tranquility for now, a small reminder of what the kingdom will be like. Another one says, I loved going to the Smithsonian in grade school. And then one last comment. It says, it's amazing how quickly things are rushing to the return of Christ and the kingdom of God. Thank you for keeping us all focused. So some comments that came in response to yesterday's show. This first article, it's a long one, actually. From the American Mind. I didn't have time to go through all of it. Richard did, however, and pulled out some of the highlights. It's titled The COVID Coup. The COVID Coup. And this article, the authors begin with this long section exposing all of the lies about COVID-19 and how the media has been complicit in spreading these lies. And much of this material we've covered over the last several months, but it's a good article that pulls it all together, this history, from March up until now. It says, such naked ploys could succeed only because the media colluded with them or in them. The New York Times, May 27 lead story, ominously blared, California is the fourth state with more than 100,000 known cases. And meanwhile, the number of deaths attributed to COVID-19, it continued to drop. So they were dishonest from the beginning. It's a real disease, as we've noted over and again. But they have used it. They have exploited this for political purposes in so many cases. The hatred for Donald Trump, it far exceeds any other talking point, any other narrative. Even facts, they're not going to get in the way of trying to destroy this president. The article says, in short, COVID-19 is not America's plague. It did not shake America. The ruling class shook it. They have not done it ignorantly or by mistake. They have done it to extort the general public's compliance with their agendas. Their claim to speak on behalf of science is an attempt to avoid being held accountable for their enormous harm, the enormous harm that they're doing. It says they continue doing it because they want to hang on to the power the panic has brought them. It's a power grab. Keep in mind the statement my father made in that Saving America article from a couple years ago. They will do anything to return to power, to grab hold of power, to seize power. It goes on to talk about how that the nursing homes, just how much abuse. We know all about the New York stories that the general media, the major media, they would not cover it. Only the New York Post, it seemed. All of these people dying, thousands and thousands of them, in this nursing home massacre. It says further on, with respect to President Trump, the 2016 U.S. election confronted the U.S. ruling class with the possibility that the presidency's enormous powers might be used to dismantle its network of prestige and privileges. The public is just beginning to understand the extent to which all manner of bureaucrats and allies use their powers to try defeating the challenge of 2016, and they instituted the socio-political equivalent of basketball's full-court press, treating anything and everything about the Trump administration as illegitimate, running official investigations not to gather information but as pretext for feeding slander to their media associates. It says, as 2020 dawned and Trump seemed a cinch for re-election, the Democratic Party et al. Were grasping at straws for ways of getting at him. We know how that this calendar year began with that sham impeachment trial. And then that wouldn't go anywhere. And lo and behold, here comes COVID-19. The article says, by the time COVID came over the horizon, thought of using it had already crossed the ruling class's minds. No conspiracy was necessary or possible. The existing party sentiment and like-mindedness were enough to produce the unanimity and uniformity with which the ruling class has used the COVID-19 event to produce, stoke, and maintain fear to energize its constituencies' agendas in pursuit of its power. They've used it. They've used it to produce, stoke, and maintain fear. And it continues even to this day. Yesterday I talked about the movement toward mandatory masks. And over in the UK, it's just ridiculous. You look at the curve, it's been totally flattened. And here they are introducing this kind of movement. Well, we'll see if it gets off and running, I suppose. There's some resistance against it, but not that much. CNN is really excited about Florida becoming the epicenter of this second wave. That's how they're covering this. DeSantis was the governor there. He was, according to CNN, he was bragging earlier about the way that they approached this crisis from the beginning. And now Florida's supposedly getting hit hard. All these cases. It's not about the deaths anymore. It's just the infections, the cases. I think President Trump, I heard a soundbite the other day saying that 52 million Americans have been tested. 52 million. That's nearly one-sixth of the population. No other nation has done this. I believe he said it's more than Europe combined, twice as much as Europe combined. And so the reporting has shifted. They've moved the goalposts. It's no longer about the deaths. It's just about the cases. This article from CNN, it does not mention anything about the mortality rate. Nothing in there about the mortality rate. Sam noted these points when going through it this morning, that Florida flattened the curve while New York killed off its most vulnerable population in under 3 weeks. You go back to those critical weeks in April, that March 25th directive from Governor Cuomo, all of those deaths. Florida deaths per million, 276. New York deaths per million, 1,681. That's the second worst in the entire world. And yet CNN would have us believe that Florida's where it's really scary. Florida is where it's really deadly. Sam points out that New York's peak daily cases, that was in April, middle of April. They had 11,661 new positive cases and 888 deaths that day. Now, Florida's peak in the daily cases, that was July 12th. Couple weeks ago, 15,300 cases, so a few thousand more than New York's peak back in the middle of April. And how many deaths? 45 compared to 888 when you go back to the peak in New York. And yet at that time they were saying Governor Cuomo was just doing everything so perfectly well. in handling this crisis. And he's the one that's been out there bragging, not Governor DeSantis. And the media, they let him get away with it. Because he's a liberal governor. He's not a dirty Republican. So he must be doing everything right. Governor Cuomo, that is. Listen to Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, yesterday. We played the clip from March or February when he said that there's really no point in wearing masks. In any event, people still look to this expert. He is the go-to epidemiologist. And he's commenting here about just how fast they're moving toward a vaccine and how fast other things are developing and fighting against this pandemic, the way that the world fights against it. Here's clip one.
Hopefully, within a period of a few months, we'll be able to get a signal to know whether it actually is effective in preventing infection with the coronavirus. It's extraordinary circumstance, John, because this is the fastest that we have ever gone from the identification of a new virus, doing the sequence, getting a vaccine, and going into a phase three trial for efficacy.
Yeah.
And we've done it by increased technologies that have really been transforming the way we do vaccine trials.
He says this is the fastest they've ever gone from identifying the new virus to getting to a point where there might be a vaccine by the end of the year. And yet, do you think President Trump is going to get any credit for how fast this is going? Again, this is the world's way to solve these kinds of crises. It's certainly not God's way. But no, they're saying Donald Trump has no plan. They're saying President Trump's not doing anything. They're saying President Trump has been just making one blunder after another from the beginning. You can see why he has to take to Twitter and other means to just get the message out. Here's what we've done. Here's when we put in the travel ban on China. Here's when we banned travel from Europe. Here's where we did this. Here's where we did this. He has no plan, and yet there's Dr. Fauci yesterday on TV saying this is the fastest, this defense against COVID-19. It's happening faster than anything we've ever seen before. Bill Barr is testifying today, by the way, just to shift gears here for a little bit. He's released some of his opening remarks. We don't have them as sound bites yet. Perhaps we'll have that tomorrow. But he's made some hard-hitting comments on, Black Lives Matter, for example. It says, according to statistics compiled by the Washington Post, the number of unarmed black men killed by police so far this year is 8. The number of unarmed white men killed by police over the same period is 11. Some unarmed suspects, moreover, were physically attacking officers and so on. He says, when a community turns on the police's, and pillories its own police, officers naturally become more risk averse and crime rates soar. Unfortunately, we're seeing that now in many of our major cities. Soaring crime rates. This is a critical problem that exists apart from disagreements on other issues. It says the threat to black lives posed by crime on the streets is massively greater than any threat posed by police misconduct. It's massively greater. The crime that we see exploding, cities exploding in violence. This poses a much greater threat to black lives than police misconduct. So obvious. And that message, it just doesn't get out there. It does not get out there. He says about this mob activity in places like Portland, what unfolds nightly around the courthouse cannot reasonably be called a protest. It is, by any effective measure, an assault on the government of the United States. This is an attack on the U.S. government. You go city by city. Find out where the mob is. Find out what they're destroying, what they're vandalizing, what they're burning. And undoubtedly, it's going to be next to some kind of federal building. It's an attack on the United States. And they say this. Never mind the talking heads the media put out there. Those that say, well, if if President Trump's SWAT team would just leave, then the violence would die down. They're lying. They're, the purpose of the attack, the purpose of this is to bring down the government of the United States. All of it goes hand in hand. Use COVID-19 if you have to. Use the mob. Use the violence. What was it that Chris Cuomo said? Here he is yesterday. This is on CNN. Listen to how he justifies this mob behavior, this violence on the streets. Clip 3.
You are ignoring the reality and you are picking on the aberrations for bad reason. And where do we see that? The other side in Portland. This isn't about calling out men and women being sent in. It's about the man sending them in. President Trump is making bad trouble. He says the federal forces are protecting federal property from violent anarchists. Local officials say they didn't ask. Local officials say they're making it worse.
He's saying that if you focus on the violence, you're doing it for a bad reason. And then, of course, the blame he puts on President Trump. It's the man who sends in these agents, something that Obama did over and over and over again. It happened all the time. Now it's, well, they simply cannot tolerate it. They cannot. They sit there and say the violence isn't happening. And we'll talk more about root causes of this violence in the next segment. But this is straight out of something George Orwell would write. All these tweets from ABC News about Portland. This one about California. Protesters in California set fire to a courthouse, damaged a police station, and assaulted officers after a peaceful demonstration intensified. It's just a peaceful demonstration, and it got a little bit intense, so much so that the courthouse burned and officers were assaulted, the police station damaged. They can't even bring themselves to say this is a riot. This is a mob. They actually put peaceful in that tweet. The same tweet talking about a courthouse on fire, a damaged police station, and assaulted officers. In the same tweet, they used the word peaceful. Peaceful. Here's another one from the next day. It says, a peaceful protest morphed into an intense early morning confrontation between demonstrators and law enforcement in Oregon's largest city. So that's one regarding Portland. It was a peaceful protest that just morphed into something that was a little bit violent. This from July 26th. All these are from ABC, I believe. Peaceful protests against police brutality and the presence of federal agents. So you see how the goalposts just continue to change. Now the protest is against federal agents. You can't send in federal agents. We're so far removed from George Floyd. It's an attack. That's what the Attorney General will be testifying today. This is an assault on the government of the United States. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some root causes of this violence and this mob behavior. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
All across the United States, you're seeing skyrocketing crime statistics in our major cities, New York City, Chicago, Baltimore. We're seeing the mob behavior in Portland, Los Angeles. And last night on a segment with Tucker Carlson, he had Heather McDonald on, and it's just, you know, if you're in God's church, you hear some of these statistics, you listen to this discourse, you think, well, of course, yes, we've known this for many, many years, and we understand the prophecy in Isaiah 3. But when you hear it on a Fox News segment, you realize just how unusual it is to hear it outside of the church, outside of what God has prophesied. And the two of them, in discussing this, they pointed out, they at one point, Tucker Carlson is saying, how come you don't hear any in the ruling class talking about this? This should be so basic. This is fundamental. The family breakdown, root causes. He gives some statistics right at the start of his segment about just how much better off children, all children, will be if they grow up in a family where there's a father present, a traditional family. Listen to some of the statistics that he rattles off. This is clip 4.
Children raised by married parents vastly outperform children who weren't. On every scale, on average, they're happier, healthier, more successful, they're paid more, they're not in jail, they graduate. So we should be very concerned about a new Senate report. It shows that the demise of two-parent households has accelerated dramatically in this country. One notable collapse is the percentage of young women who are married. That's dropped from 71% in 1962 to 42% in 2019. The result of this, people aren't getting married, but they're still having children. That means a massive uptick in out-of-wedlock births. Out-of-wedlock births rose from 5% of all births in 1960 to 40% of all births today.
40% of all births today. So we're moving toward half of all children being born out of wedlock. So there's lots of reproduction going on, not as much marriage, and certainly not many marriages staying together over the long haul. They're breaking apart. And he has this discussion with Heather McDonald and says that in the more affluent neighborhoods that I've grown up in, Tucker Carlson says, you do see more families intact, and yet you rarely hear them. You know, ones that have families together, you rarely hear them talking about out-of-wedlock births or talking about how dangerous this is. They don't even want to criticize it. Of course, today, you talk about anything traditional, and it's probably going to bring charges of racism or white privilege. So people just keep quiet. They just keep quiet. In his neighborhood, he says, everyone is married, they have kids, but they won't dare criticize what's happening on a broad scale right across the nation. Why is this? Here's how Heather McDonald responded to that, clip 5.
It tells you that the elites have lost faith in the bourgeois values that they practice but are not willing to articulate because they believe that somehow they're associated with white supremacy. We've been hearing a lot, Tucker, about this white privilege meme. That's a poisonous fiction. Here's the real class divide in this country. And sadly, it's also a race divide. The likelihood of growing up with two married parents. I'm going to break a massive feminist taboo here and say that males matter, that fathers matter, that fathers bring a set of values and norms to child rearing, whether it's self-reliance or self-discipline, honor and courage, on average, that complement what mothers can bring.
And that's the way, of course, God intended for it to be. The two are, you can go back to Genesis 2 and read about this. Study those words, help meet. How that they're to complement one another. The role of the father, the role of the mother, they're very different. And the father, now occasionally there's times where maybe the wife will die early on when the kids are young. That happens occasionally. But there are ways. God's put laws in motion for marriage and families to keep communities together and to keep them unified and peaceful. But we're not seeing that at all. We're just seeing all kinds of broken families, all kinds of fatherlessness, not because the father dies early, but because the father's not responsible. The father's not fulfilling his role. The father's not ruling well, as the Bible says. And so what are the children doing? Well, look at the nightly news. Look at the crime statistics. Look at our prison systems. Look at the young people. She talks about the slow motion anarchy. You see the anarchy in the streets today, but again, what are the root causes of this? Listen to what Heather McDonald had to say, clip 6.
And the anarchy that we've lived through with the looting and the rioting of the last month, Tucker, has been preceded by a more slow motion anarchy and breakdown, which is the breakdown of the family, because our prisons today are filled almost exclusively with fatherless men.
Why is she the only one that's pointing this out? When you want to get the truth, when you want to hear the truth about police conduct, about the family in minority communities, or the family across the board, if you want to get the truth, you can go to this one woman. She's sounding the alarm. A slow motion anarchy. That's where anarchy starts, in the home. That's what Isaiah 3 is describing. Family anarchy, where the children are ruling, where the women are ruling, and where the men are missing. Isaiah chapter 3, of course, chapter 1 of that book, talks about the sickness from head to toe. That's what she's describing, a slow motion anarchy. It started in the home. And why won't anyone in the ruling class speak out against this? Well, just like I noted with respect to the founding fathers and comments that Barack Obama made about Thomas Jefferson just 6 years ago, he represents the best of America. It really does show when you look at the ruling class and what they're saying today or not saying in this case and compare it to just a few years ago. It shows how much worse the sickness is today and how fast it's happened. Just like some of our listeners are pointing out when they send in feedback. It's just all happening so fast. The degeneration, the deterioration of our nations, the sickness, the disease, the spiritual disease, the pandemic. Here's Heather McDonald pointing out what Barack Obama said just a few years ago, clip 7.
The feminists rule our discourse. You're not allowed to say that men matter. I mean, it's just, you believe survivors, believe that they live in a rape culture. I will say, though, that before he was elected president, Barack Obama in 2008 gave a Father's Day speech from Chicago that I urge all your listeners, but I urge in particular the so-called progressives to read, where he gave the facts that you started with, Tucker, about the much greater chance that fatherless boys end up in prison, end up out of school, end up in gangs. Sadly, Obama did not act on that speech.
I remember the speech from 2008. It was good, just looking at it on paper. It was a good speech. But nothing changed. It just got worse. As she says, sadly, Obama did not act on that speech. The situation in the black community during his presidency, it just got worse. But I want you to think about what she says here in the next clip. This is the final clip, because this, again, is something you never hear. We've talked a lot about this attack, this assault on government, the White House in particular, the current president in particular, and how that even in his own party, there's so much weakness. Where is the strength? Where is the courage to just stand up and to defend the president that's in your own party? Listen to what Heather McDonald has to say about the breakdown of the family and the weakness in the Republican Party. Here's clip 8.
The Republicans have not been much better. Part of the problem is that so many of them, if they were married initially, are now divorced. So it's a hard thing to turn this around, but we have to, because the breakdown of the family is the biggest civilizational catastrophe that we're facing today, that is the root of the spiraling crime, insane drive-by shootings that we see in the inner city, and the lack of the destruction of human potential.
Just amazing. Even the language that she chose to use. The biggest civilizational catastrophe that we're facing. You think about that classic quote from Herbert Armstrong from the 1960s. The breakdown of the family, he said, it posed a greater threat to our nation than the hydrogen bomb. This is a catastrophe, a slow motion catastrophe. And we're now seeing the tail end of it. And the way that she says, even the Republican leadership, so many of them come from divorced homes as well. They can't keep a marriage together. They can't keep a family together. And of course, one point that Tucker made in response to that is, even if you have made mistakes, you still ought to be out there saying, don't do this. Don't do it this way. But nobody does. We just accepted it. It's just normal. It's normal to get in a relationship, to break up, maybe to have a few children out of wedlock. This is normal for our times. And meanwhile, we can't control the young people running in the streets, burning down federal buildings, damaging police stations, assaulting officers. Think of it, taking a high-powered laser beam to try to make law enforcement officials go blind. This is happening in Portland. It's happening every night. And what's the problem? Well, the ruling class, the elites, the media class, the media Democrat complex, they say it's Donald Trump. He's the cause. The cause is a total breakdown in the family. Isaiah 3 and verse 4, it says, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The babes rule. The infants rule. It's talking more about their mental state. Childishness. Emotionally immature. Emotionally unstable. You have grown men on TV justifying the violence. You have grown men on TV saying, well, where does it say it has to be peaceful? Let's see some violence. You have grown men on TV saying, we don't need help from above. We've got ourselves. We can do this. Those are children. That's childish reasoning. It says, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. That's what we're seeing in the streets of America today. Some of the things that these young people are shouting at these policemen or these DHS agents. The cursing, the disgust, the disdain, the hatred, the contempt, the rebellious spirit. Where does that come from? Where did they learn this? Where did they learn to hate the people in positions of authority? Or where did they learn to despise and to hate those who are there to uphold law and order? Do you think they came out of a home where there was law and order? Far from it. Notice the emphasis in verses 4 and 5. It's on rule. Children are ruling. Who else but Heather McDonald is going to get up and say, the reason why you're not getting strong, the reason why you're not getting any strong criticism or leaders denouncing what's happening to our families is because Republicans themselves are weak because of the broken family. Many of them are divorced. So maybe they feel like hypocrites to say anything. No one says anything. And the family just continues to disintegrate. Verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you, cause you to err, it says, and to destroy the way of your paths. You see the emphasis in verse 4 and 5, and then again in verse 12. There is rule, but it's the children and the women that rule. The men are gone. The men aren't there. What did she say about the the feminist ruling class? They dominate. They're the ones dominating the discourse. Here I see it. The feminists rule our discourse. The feminists. And so they tell you fathers don't matter. And so they tell you we don't need fathers. And so they tell you get rid of fathers. They're actually kind of dangerous. Get rid of the authority figure. All of this, it's quite the contrast to the message that our young people were hearing all throughout the summer educational program. As we told them, you are in training for rulership. This world needs new leaders. It needs teachers. It needs new mayors. It needs new governors. It needs new presidents and prime ministers. The training that they're receiving from their families, and I think 75-80% of our young people, they come out from traditional families. So it's quite a different experience growing up in God's church. It's not perfect. There's some broken families here and there. Sometimes people leave the church. But this is what we're building. This is how we're building tomorrow's world. It starts with the family, the institution of family. Mr. Armstrong wrote in the Good News back in 1985, he said, the very foundation of any stable civilization is a solid family structure. Today's civilization, with its foundation disintegrating, is itself on the way out. That was Herbert Armstrong in 1985. That seems like a long time ago. But that was Herbert Armstrong warning about this long before Heather McDonald came along. Good for her to say what she's saying today. But what about this end time Elijah decades ago telling us where we would be right now if the family disintegrates? There's a quote in our child rearing booklet that says, any child reared in an upside down home is going to develop into an upside down child. If the home is dysfunctional, there's a few exceptions to everything, of course. It doesn't mean you're just set on a course that you can't get out of if you come from a bad family. We have plenty of people in our church that managed to survive a really dysfunctional family, and God's turned it around for them. And now they're building the family the right way. Repentance is always the way out of any kind of breakdown. If we turn to God, God can clean up our lives. If we turn to God, God can help us to fix problems, to solve problems, to eliminate problems. But as the family goes, so goes the nation. You look at the way our families are going today, and it's no wonder the nation is breaking down. It's no wonder crime and violence is skyrocketing. It's no wonder little infants are being gunned down while they're sleeping in their apartment because some crazed drive-by shooter wants to shoot up the neighborhood. It says in this 1985 piece, God is a kingdom. That is the supreme divine family that rules the universe. The whole gospel, which Jesus Christ brought from God for mankind, is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. This is the focus of the Bible, really. This is the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. It says here, and the united, closely knit together family of Christians, the church, will at the coming of Christ and the time of the resurrection become the kingdom of God. This is what the church is to become. In just a few years ahead of us, it's to become the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God starts with a family relationship. First, the physical human families. Second, the one compacted together church. And finally, when the church is changed to immortality, the God family, which is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I thought it was interesting that, just going back to the language that Heather McDonald used, she talked about the destruction of human potential. If she only knew, if she only knew that God is a family, that is the incredible human potential to be born into the family of God, headed up by the Father. Jesus came to declare the Father. You can read about that in John chapter 1. God brought us into the church to change this world. And that miraculous transformation, it starts with the individual families. It starts with you and me. Sometimes it would be easy, even in the church, to think that, well, I can kind of excuse all of my marital problems or difficulties or the family problems that we have, because it'll surely be fixed and made right when Christ returns. When Christ gets back, then everything will be perfect and so on. And of course, we can't reason that way. We have to solve those problems today, now, and we're going up against a lot of resistance, I know. Satan sees God's church and the families in God's church as the biggest target that he's aiming to destroy. He loves family dysfunction in the church of God. That's what led to the breakdown of an entire church era. We've seen so many people turn away from God, even as their families, their physical families, have disintegrated. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, a minister or a leader in the church must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So they're right away, you see family emphasized. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. And then verse 4, it says, one that rules well his own house. having his children in subjection with all gravity. This is New Testament teaching here. This is from the Apostle Paul saying that if you're on the lookout for leaders in the church, they need to be someone who rules the house well, who rules the family well, who has the children in subjection with all gravity. Notice the emphasis here. He has to learn how to rule. He has to do it well. And the children should be obedient to that father. So what happens when, as Heather McDonald says, so many children, so many young people, they don't even have the father. He's not even around. Well, then look at the statistics that Tucker Carlson pointed out at the top of that segment, or that Barack Obama drew attention to in 2008. Look at the crime. Look at the statistics. Look at what is much more likely to happen if you grow up in a fatherless home. Well, then turn to the Bible and see what God says. One that rules well his own house, he's got to be able to rule the family. He's got to be able to keep those children in subjection. That really is our overarching goal as fathers in God's family, as fathers in God's church. It's to rule the family well. And you say, well, that's not politically correct today to talk about a father ruling. Well, we just read in Isaiah 3 where children are ruling. Women are ruling. Someone's going to rule. Someone's going to have final say. We see what's prophesied. Today, it's upside down. The children are ruling the streets. And law enforcement, they're being told, you go home. We don't want you here. If you go home, then the violence will stop. That's the way they reason. Verse 5, it says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's so basic, isn't it? If he's not ruling the house the right way, how's he going to look after a congregation? How's he going to take care of God's people? These are weighty responsibilities that God is giving us. God wants for us to rule, and not rule like a tyrant, but to rule well. To rule like Jesus Christ would. To rule with God's help and power. My father wrote this back in 2014. Well, I can just paraphrase it. He just talked about how that leaders in the church ought to really strive for excellence when it comes to child rearing. Let me just give you another verse. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 7. So Paul, as we just read in 1 Timothy 3, he's talking about the qualifications of a leading man in the church of God. And then here in chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, it says, let the elders or let the ministers that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. So if you're ruling well, then you ought to be honored for that. You ought to be held up as an example. See, that's what we don't have in society, right? And it's so bad that even on the Republican side, nobody speaks out. Nobody even dares criticize what is happening to our cities, our communities, our families, our marriages, our children. It's not that way with God. God says, if you find someone that's ruling well, you make note of them, you bestow double honor upon them. You hold them up as an example, because that's what our sons and that's what our daughters need to see. That's how they learn to rule well. Training for rulership starts in the home. It's great that SEP can come along and emphasize it. It's great that we can establish that as a theme for an entire summer camp.
But the truth of it is, training them to rule, that starts when they're little infants. Starts even before that. If you really have the vision, what God is working out here below, the incredible human potential, Heather McDonald talked about human potential. If we really understand the incredible human potential the way that we should, then preparation, training for rulership, it starts for those youths even before they come along, even before they're born. Starts in the home, and it continues. It continues right on up through their upbringing and through every summer educational program opportunity they have. And hopefully, if it goes beyond that, the training that they'll receive at God's college, where they can study God's way in greater detail and go all the way through courses like marriage and family. And I could list off many others as well. Tomorrow on the show, I'd like to break this down even further and talk about something I stressed with the campers the other day, that ruling well in the family, ruling well in God's church, the training for that, or it starts when you're ruling yourself. That's what the proverb says. Rule your own spirit well. Now, we need training and discipline, as Paul wrote in Galatians. We need governors and tutors over us, disciplining us, parents, fathers, mothers. It's not that these young people that we just sent home yesterday are out on their own now because they're supposed to rule their own spirits well, but they've got to learn under their parents' authority, of course. They've got to learn to be disciplined and to bring God into their day-by-day activities, as I say. We'll dwell on that a little bit more on tomorrow's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.